One of the great messianic texts of the book of Isaiah is Isaiah 53, verses 13 through the 53rd chapter. As we come to this part of Isaiah, there are four great servant songs. One in 42, in which the servant of Isaiah is said that he would not strive and cry out in the street. He would take a broken reed and he would not destroy it or extinguish a dimly burning wick. We see the gentleness of the servant. And that particular text could have a double application to possibly Isaiah, but ultimately to Christ. And we see the application in Matthew chapter 12, where we see the gentleness of our Lord, and that very text is quoted. In chapter 49, we have a second servant song in which Israel becomes a type of Christ again. Israel is to be a light not only to Judah but to the nations. And it is interesting that the final Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, is that very light to the nations, as we look at Luke chapter 2. And so we see a typical fulfillment there, probably. Then in the middle of Isaiah 50, we see the servant having his beard plucked and also being spit upon. And again, the ultimate fulfillment is Christ in Matthew chapter 27, where we see that very thing happening to our Lord. But then we come to this text in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 through chapter 53. This particular text, I believe, is what I would call a directly messianic text, having its ultimate fulfillment in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is interesting that in the Jewish interpretation, they understand this to be Israel, a righteous remnant suffering in Babylon. However, when you look at Isaiah 40, Israel suffers double for all of her sins in Babylon. But here we have an innocent sufferer, one who's suffering for the sins of others. And as we look at the New Testament, this was clearly applied to Jesus. We see it in Acts 8, where Philip preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch from this very text and preaches Jesus to him. We see it in 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter quotes this very text and applies it to the Lord Jesus, speaking of the gentleness of Christ, who being reviled did not revile back, being threatened did not threaten back, and left us an example to follow in his footsteps. Peter is speaking to his audience in 1 Peter chapter 2. And so, as a Christian, I believe the direct fulfillment of this text is Jesus. And it's almost, we might call it a mini Christology. What I'd like to do is look at each section of this great text from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 through 53. Look at each section and how it applies to Christ, giving the Hebrew for each word and its meaning, and then making a short application, interpretation, an application to our Lord. First of all, we might begin with what we could call the prologue. And I think, no doubt, this would have been one of the texts that Jesus would have clearly quoted when he was on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, opening up this very text to those on that road to Emmaus. He begins, Hine yaskil abdi, Isaiah begins, Yarum v'nisa v'gevah ma'od. Behold, my servant shall act wisely, or shall prosper. He shall be raised, he shall be lifted up, and he shall be exceedingly high. We begin with, behold, yaskil. Yaskil is from the verb sakal. It is a hiphil imperfect third masculine singular from sakal. Notice the pathak hirik yod, the ai vowel pattern, gives it away as a hiphil imperfect. And so, lo, or behold, my servant shall prosper or act wisely. We could have a double meaning here. And abdi is from the noun evad, meaning servant. And notice it is in construct with e, the pronominal suffix, first common singular. So my servant, behold, he shall be caused to prosper. And then we have three verbs, yarum, venisa, vegevamo'od. Yarum is the cow imperfect, third masculine singular from rum, a biradical root. He shall be raised. Venisa, and he shall be lifted up. Notice, ve is just your simple conjunction, followed by the verb nisa. Nisa is from the verb nasa. This is a peinun verb, where the nun of the first consonant has assimilated into the scene, ninsa becoming nisa. And that's why we have the doggish forte in the scene. And notice this is a nifal, a perfect third masculine singular from nasa. And he shall be lifted up. It's a passive, nifal being passive of the simple stem, the cow. Vegeva ma'od, and he shall be exceedingly high. By the way, this conjunction, both of these are what we would call a vav consecutive, or a vav hafik, or a vav conversive. Beginning with the imperfect in yaskil, we move to the perfect, and also the imperfect in yarum, we move to the perfect in nisa and gava, with the vav, with a shava, being a vav conversive, or a vav consecutive, turning these perfects over and putting them into the future. So, and he shall be raised, and he shall be exceedingly high, or lifted up, and shall be exceedingly high. Notice, gava is just your cow perfect, third masculine singular from gava, and ma'od is just an adverb, he shall be exceedingly high. Notice here in these cluster of verbs that we are looking at the exaltation of Jesus Christ. He's destined for glorification from the get-go, so to speak, from the very beginning. And what we are seeing here is his glory, and the route to glorification will be passion as we move through the text. It is interesting in John 13, when Judas went out, the text says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." And I believe Jesus is anticipating his passion to be the route to his glory. And so we begin with that great theme of glorification. Some want to see Yarum as the resurrection, Venisa as the ascension, and Vegeva as the session or the seating of Christ at the right hand of the Father. While that's possible, it's also possible just to see a cluster of verbs to look at the ultimate exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the root to that exaltation is passion. And so as we go on, the text reads in verse 14, Ka asher shamamu alecha rabim, kein mishchat me'ish marehu, v'tohero me'bnei adam. According as many were astonished at you. Thus there was a disfigurement beyond that of a man in his appearance, and his form beyond that of the sons of men. Notice, as according as the relative pronoun is followed by shamamu. Shamamu is the cow perfect third common plural from shamam, according as many, and rabim is the noun masculine plural with the im ending, from rabah, meaning many. So many were appalled at you. Al is the preposition in construct with cha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So, as, according as, many were astonished at you. Cain, thus, there was a disfigurement beyond that of a man in his appearance. Notice the word mishchat means disfigurement, a noun, and the mem here following that is a comparative use of the mem. Min is the noun for from or beyond, and here in this context, a disfigurement beyond or unlike that of a man. We have compensatory lengthening because the noon could not double into or assimilate into the guttural aleph here, so it dropped out, and we have compensatory lengthening from a hirik to a tseri. So, thus, there was a disfigurement of his appearance. Mareh is the word of form or appearance. We could say appearance, and hu is the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, built into this noun. So thus his appearance, there was a marring beyond that of a man, and his form, notice ve is just your simple conjunction, and tohar is the noun for form, and o is the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, and his form, again, we have a comparative use of the mem, the min, with the nun assimilating into the bait here, so we do retain the hirik, and that bait, we have a doggish forte, a doubling, because of the nun assimilating. So his form, unlike or beyond the sons of men, B'nai Adam is from the plural banim, becoming B'nai in construct with Adam. Notice that Seriyod is a masculine plural that is in construct with Adam or man. So when we look at our Lord Jesus, many were appalled at him. He was marred, unlike that of a man, and his form unlike that of the sons of men. Here we have a what we call a synonymous parallelism in poetry here. He was marred beyond that of human recognition. And I cannot help but think of Mel Gibson's movie and all the marring and the beating that Christ went through. So he appears unlike that of being human. And I believe at this point, many then were appalled at him. They were not drawn to him at all. But at the same time, he would sprinkle many nations. Notice in verse 15, Kein yazeh goyim rabim. Thus will he sprinkle many nations and kings. Alav yikpatsu melechim pihim. Kings would shut their mouths at him. Ki asher lo supar lahim ra'u. For that which has not been declared to them, they will see. Ba asher lo shamau hitbonanu. And that which they have not heard, they will understand. Notice, yazeh, thus, yazeh, is an interesting verb. I take it from the root nazah, to sprinkle, in which the nun has dropped out, and hence it's a hifil, imperfect, third masculine singular from nazah. This very root is used in Leviticus 16. On the great day of atonement, when the high priest would go in with the blood of a bullock for himself, and he would yazeh, sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. And then later, he would sprinkle blood of a goat for the people. And so this word actually means to sprinkle. Some translate it to startle. But in reality, the only basis for doing that is seeking to find a cognate imperative in Arabic. But the basic meaning of Yahzeh, when we look at the Torah, and especially Leviticus and the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16, is that of sprinkling. And so I believe we're looking at the atoning work of Christ. Thus will he cause to sprinkle many nations, goyim rabim. And notice goyim is the masculine plural noun, and rabim is the adjective, meaning many, from rabab, rabah, meaning many. And so thus will he sprinkle many nations. And I'm reminded of Revelation chapter 5, where out of every nation and tribe, people are singing the redemption song to Jesus, who is the Lamb of God that has effected their redemption. And so we're looking at his atoning work as the kind of sacrifice that was performed on the Day of Atonement. By the way, all through here, we're looking at an atonement picture by even the words that will be used, not only here, but later on in chapter 53. So we go on, Alav yikpetsu melechim piyem. Concerning him, al is the preposition, meaning concerning, and the vav here is your pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. Concerning him, yikpetsu, kings will shut their mouths. Yikpetsu is just your cow imperfect, third common plural from kafats, to shut. And notice the subject of that is melechim. Melechim is simply the noun plural form in the em ending from melech. And it's the subject of the verb. So kings will shut their pihim, their mouths. P is just the noun meaning mouth, and him is the pronominal suffix, third person, plural, masculine plural. So the picture here is that of silence before this ultimate one, this ultimate king who's going to be exalted, even though it happens through passion. I'm reminded that there's a day coming when every knee is going to bow, and even kings will bring their glory to this king in the new heaven and new earth of Revelation 21-22. And so we have a beautiful anticipation of everybody and every king coming before him. And in the ancient world, if one would go into the presence of a king, there would be a picture, an archaeological inscription, in which the mouth would be covered, the hand would be over the lips to show that you don't speak before the king. And so this is the picture here. We have the King of Kings, Melech Melechim, Adon Adonai, the Lord of Lords, in Revelation chapter 19, that every knee is going to bow before him, either as Savior or either as Judge. There will be those that will be bowing before him as their eternal Judge. That's why it's so critical to believe in him as Savior. Even kings will be silenced before him today. Again, either as Savior or eternal Judge. Ki asher lo supar lahim ra'u, for that which, ki, the conjunction, asher, is just your relative pronoun, that which lo supar has not been declared to them. Notice lo is your negative particle, and supar is your pu'el, a perfect third masculine singular from safar, to declare. Notice the kibbutz followed by the doubling of the fi, or the pay, with the dogish forte, and then followed by the tseri, And so we're looking here, actually it's a pathak, supar. We're looking at a pu'el, though, a third masculine singular, that which they have not been told, they shall see for themselves. Notice the lamed here is the preposition, and the him is your pronominal suffix, third masculine plural. And ra'u is from a lamed he verb, ra'a, where the he is elided or dropped out. And we have the u showing that it's a common plural ending, third common plural. And this is what we would call a verb that is a prophetic perfect. It's perfect in Hebrew, but it should be translated shall see, because we're looking at a perfect, looking at action as good as already accomplished, but with a future anticipation. So that which has not been declared to them, they shall see, v'asher lo shama'u hitbonanu. And that which they have not heard, they will perceive or understand. Notice the vav here is just your conjunction followed by the relative pronoun, asher. Lo is your negative particle, and shama'u is the cal perfect third common plural with the u ending from shama, to hear, and hitbonanu is from the, it's a biradical root, bin, meaning to understand, and it's a hitpolal. Notice the hit and the O class vowel followed by the A. So they shall perceive or understand. And these hitpolal forms, the last vowel, or the last consonant, the nun, is doubled. And so since we can't have the intensive use with the bean, we have what is called here a hit polal rather than a hit pa'el. And it has a reflexive idea. That which they have not heard, they shall perceive or understand. So again, the hit polal perfect third common plural from being is the verb here, is the parsing of the verb. So what is significant here, the Lord, even in his suffering, is going to sprinkle many nations. And kings will be silenced before the King of Kings, either as Lord or Judge. Because that which has not been declared to them in the past, they will see as to who Jesus is. And now we're coming back to his glorification, which we started to look at in the beginning of verse 13. And that which they have not heard, they're going to understand. They're going to see something in Jesus that has not been told them before. And they're going to hear and understand things that they have not perceived before. Again, we're looking at the victory of Christ, at his sovereignty, at his transcendence, and ultimately at the time when he will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, at the time when every knee will recognize his lordship, either as Savior or as eternal Judge.